Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Yes, I am live. We're flip-flopping today. I get to go play in the rain a little bit later today. I know it's almost certain to be raining here by noon and probably a little bit earlier, but that's the way it is, right? You sign up for with your friends for a tournament, and there you are. So I'm going to be flip-flopping today so I can bolt out of here and get myself warmed up. So anyway, that's what the case is. So give us a call at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, it's been for me, a very deeply personal week, a week of reflection of many things. I can hardly wrap my mind around it. So on the plane coming home, don't worry, I'll get there. On the plane coming home last night from Washington, D.C., spent 10 days back there, a week with ninth graders. And I mean, I am not kidding you, from literally wake-up calls at 6:30 in the morning. No exaggeration. I'm not saying I got to get up and, you know, get makeup on or anything. 6:30 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. Every day. And, of course, you're on the bus with kids. D.C.'s got the worst traffic in the universe, I think. And, okay, maybe Tokyo's worse or Beijing or something when they're not in lockdown. It is horrible. But it's a point of, you know, you don't have to worry about it, right? Because you're sitting on a bus. And you see everything. And these we had the best guides in the world. And what I mean by something, it's kind of emotional. If you've ever been back there, you know, I know both times I've been to Arlington, I mean, the first time I was an emotional mess. You know, it just, it's one of those things that just hits you. And it's really stunning because so many of these memorials have gotten to be so good. The story's so deep. And we have a point now in our country where we are fighting about, if you will, the greatness of this American experiment. And it is an experiment. We forget. I do. I think we all do. How this experiment really is began in 1776. And it is an experiment. Nobody had done this before. Nobody has done this since. We still have a unique government, a uniquely free government. It was extremely difficult to do. Extremely. And I tell you all this, just bear with me here, because it really gives you a sense of history and not day-to-day noise. But when you go to places like the Holocaust Museum, Black History, Arlington, Mount Vernon, the Lincoln Monument, you know, it's just stunning. Okay, they're beautiful. They're amazing. It's incredible. Yep, Jefferson had slaves, 300 of them. 190 for George Washington. It was a different time, is one way of looking at it. It's also another way when we think about it, at least for me, is that, yes, they struggled with it, reading their letters, and letters to each other, thinking about their deliberations, the quotes that they have everywhere, the actual documents they wrote, and going through them and thinking about it. When you have time, that's what's going on, not the market. The market's in turmoil, yes. Didn't have time for it. So you're sitting there and you're thinking about all these incredible men in history that were unbelievably brave. Here's what's going to happen when you are defeated by the largest power in the world that outnumbers you, are you ready for this? 10 to 1. And like a million to 1 in training. Like, what colonists were trained in warfare? None. They were pretty good at shooting squirrels, I'm sure. And it came in handy. But they had the heart to fight for freedom. But you are a privileged person. You are in you can't live any better in this time than Washington and Thomas Jefferson and many others. And you were going to be hung, but not till you're dead, pulled down, and then you're going to be quartered. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up, but I wouldn't suggest it. That's what's going to happen to you. And you sign a document anyway. It's bravery beyond comprehension. To me. It's Iwo Jima type of, right? Bravery. Very, very privileged people. But amazingly thoughtful people, brilliant people, inspired people, in spite of their flaws. I know Thomas Jefferson had a separate family. They're pretty much 100% sure because of DNA testing and blah, blah, blah. Okay? He did. He's a sinner. And he also wrote the most amazing document. Fought for state rights, as others for Federalist rights. In an interesting dialogue. They could talk to each other back then, yell at each other, argue, and at the end of the day, come up with the greatest document in all of history. Think about that now. You think Nancy or Chuck comes up with anything except what the political winds say they ought to be doing? I'm not even going to pick on Joe. He can't even walk to the helicopter without directions. He shakes hands with air. It's becoming just purely sad. Is there dialogue? No. Is it hopeless? No, it's not. But what it did for me in thinking about the noise of the market and what's going on, and I've got so much more. It was just really impactful. I just wanted to take notes and write about what my thoughts were. You know, it's like I was writing a diary to myself in my brain, and on the plane coming home, made a few notes. Because it's easy enough to go and go, wow, that was really cool. Do you realize what Washington did? He was the father of our nation, yes. He was a very brave man, went into battle and fought a war as one of the most privileged people, suffered in the coldest of cold, the winters of the Revolutionary War. Carried the weight of all of this. And then they said, you please be king. And he walked away. Walked away. And during the 8 years that he was our president, he had to deal with an economic collapse. Figuring out how to have a currency. Who's going to loan the United States money? They have no ability to pay their debts. How are they going to pay their debts? How are we going to tax without having another insurrection? Oh, yeah, they did have one. 10,000 troops had to go to Boston to quell that. Is Britain coming back and going to attack us? Had to do another treaty with them. Pulled it off. Held down the insurrection. The military wants to take over. Why wouldn't they? There's a void. A void to fill. With all good intentions, I'm sure. And Washington stepped into the barrier and said no. That's what these people, they were inspired. Yes, but he had slaves. I understand that. And he had turmoil about that. In spite of that, in spite of their problems, in spite of the fact that they are not perfect men, no excuses, they're not. They are not. There was something inspired and different and chosen about them. Their dialogue with each other. They didn't always get along. As I'm walking through Mount Vernon and thinking about that, and looking at all these different displays in the museum there about all of the things that they had to deal with. And he's got Jefferson and Hamilton screaming at each other about starting a bank. Think about that. We don't even think about things like that because we weren't born in a time where we grow up and it's all available. Well, what kind of banking system are you going to have? A state one? A federal one? It's a big deal. It's a country-ending one of dozens of things you have to get right. So they're screaming and yelling at each other. Washington chooses Hamilton. Hamilton's discussion and pushes for it. Can you imagine all these people are out there? They're from Virginia, they're from Pennsylvania, they're from Massachusetts, and they're like, what about us? What about our state rights? We don't want another king. We don't want another this. We don't want another centralized government. Very real arguments. How do you even have a constitution? Oh, yeah, that's right. They had to create a constitution. We think sometimes, I did, not this trip, but I mean, I did in the past that the Constitution was kind of like part of when we started. No, it had to be decided after the Revolutionary War. That's when they figured all this out. Does that look like Washington, D.C. today? It doesn't, does it? Thomas Jefferson and Washington visited each other after all this. But did you know that Jefferson quit as Secretary of State? He quit because their differences were so big that he didn't want to deal with it. He saw Washington as a Federalist. He wanted state rights. And they visited each other afterwards. Just a difference of opinion. Strong enough, wanted to change that. Now, I had one other observation real quick, and I have so many, and they'll keep popping up, I'm sure. But one of the things that really struck me as we consider and talk about, fight about, argue about the slavery issue, the greatness of this country, it's really not that great because our fathers had sins. They did. They were flawed men, clearly. But as we think about these folks, by the way, FYI, and as Will, George Washington gave up his slaves. He freed them all. After he and Martha passed, that was the deal. They were free. Again, I know, that's not a perfect person. Hang on to them for life, and then they're gone. Okay, that's not a perfect person. It is not. But when you think about it from that's the way all slave owners were. No, but they didn't do anything about the bad ones, did they? That's bad. But there's something divine in my mind about what happened on the East Coast, the North South, if you will, versus the Deep South, where we do have a lot of stories of terrible, terrible things. And it is terrible. And I'm not here to put down the South. I'm just saying there was something different happening in Virginia, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New York, etc. Because that's where all of our founding fathers came from. That's where the deep thought came from, the Constitution. Something different. They argued and fought. They were willing to give their life for a cause, a good cause, a noble cause. And that's what I came away with. Slave owners, yes. Maybe philanderers, yes. You know, so-and-so, Ben Franklin had this, okay, whatever, right. Hey, you perfect person, cast the stone. But when we look at it and think about this country, this experiment that we're living in this sense, hundreds of years of progress, hundreds of years of progress based on an idea, we're doing pretty good. Can you imagine that from a small group of colonists, a revolutionary war, a civil war that is grotesque beyond comprehension as to what it does and what it did, especially to the South. It's unbelievable. 2% of the population died. Two died. Not just were like mortally, not mortally, like handicapped for the rest of their life. That'd be another at least 2%. Stunning. It would be millions of people were killed in the Civil War if it happened today. Stunning numbers. Stunning numbers. We got through all of this, and we're still here. We're not just still here. We are the light on the hill. We are the beacon to the world. We are the innovator and creator of everything. We are inherently great. Why? I don't know. I think it's the DNA of our Constitution, of our founding fathers, as imperfect as they were. And when you go and see it and consume in it with... I met a man that it was just like one of the most humble men. But when you talk to him for a week, he's our guide. He's 83 years old. I can't walk and keep up with him. Nobody could in the bus. The ninth graders couldn't keep up with him. What a stud of a guy. Quiet as a mouse. Except to tell his stories about growing up in a segregationist South. Talk about the stories about being in the White House. Not just being there. He worked in the White House. Unbelievable. You never know this. And all he wants to do is go around and teach kids, impressionable minds, about America now. Stunning. Ran hundreds of millions in revenue. Hundreds of employees. Companies. He was a retired CEO. Ran the Department of Trade. These are the quiet, unbelievable people. You could write a book about his stories. He was a spy. It's just like, wow, this is insane. I mean, you just listen to this guy talking and talking and talking. Most humble guy. And he didn't. You just ask him a question. He'd talk. When I was in the White House, it was incredible. Those are the real people out there. That's who we are. Not the look at me, do this, do that. When you think about that and you think about the history and we worry about market corrections on a week-to-week basis, I of course we're going to worry about it. I get it. It's in your face. My money's going away, blah, blah, blah. And the first one is always the hard one. But I thought about calling this segment real quickly, Dow 1 Million. Because if we grow at the same rate we have the last 50 years, it'll be 1.5 million on the Dow. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. But we worry about this small stuff. It was almost 300 years ago now, right? These guys were riding around the backcountry and putting together farms. Unbelievable. And yet we worry about 1 week or 2 weeks. It's important, I think, sometimes to just get that perspective, to understand history, but to really dive deep sometimes, just immerse in it. And that was a blessing for me, is to come away with that. And those kids, by the way. Unbelievable. They knew more about history than I did when they got on the bus. And I don't just mean dumb facts. They may not understand history the way I do, the way we do as we mature, all people. But they were so well behaved too. TV doesn't do justice to all the kids. We ran into busload after busload after busload. This is the big time in D.C. Big time. Everywhere you go, there's buses of junior high and high school kids. Everywhere you go. Busloads. It's unbelievable. All going there to immerse themselves in the greatness of this country. They're great kids. There is great hope. Great hope. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. And if you prefer email, that's fine. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Hey, we had a caller here. We've had a couple calls come in, so please call back. Maybe this is it right now. I don't know. Was calling back. Bo just didn't have quite a chance to get to you, so give it a try and get in line. We'd love to talk with you. Again, obviously, we're reversing things today. I should say obviously. You may not have known it. You just tuned in. We're going to have the segment with Kevin Miller. I was actually in D.C. at the time, if you didn't hear it live, when Kevin and I were talking about it. I was at Monticello, which, of course, is Thomas Jefferson's home. Took a few minutes to, I guess, if you will, to talk about some of the things that I was feeling about the trip to D.C. And it is one of those things. It also helped form my thought process to keep writing things down as the trip evolved, taking pictures intentionally to remember stories about the slave that built the statue, the tallest one in Washington, D.C., the most important one on top of the Capitol building called the Freedom Statue. It wasn't sculpted. It was bronzed. It was cast because the sculptor, the famous sculptor, was off overseas and said this guy could do it. It's still flawless today. But imagine that. A slave, 6 days a week, hovered over the ovens. You think you might have a thought or two? Maybe about, that's weird. Freedom statue. Guess I'll go home to my master after I'm done. Interesting. Interesting time. Not perfect. This American experiment is still growing up beautifully. And that's what we lose in a terrible week in the market, in a terrible month, in an absolutely normal correction. But it becomes extraordinary because it allows us to live in fear. It allows the annuity pimps to go crazy, right? And the gold bugs to yell and scream. And we lose sight of where we're going. We do. And where we've been. Sometimes it helps to be away for a week. Even if you're like, right? All right. Our number is 580-KIDO. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
And I'm a first-time caller. I've got a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this stagflation is going to continue for the next couple of years?
Excellent question. I don't know, and that's the honest truth. Nobody knows, right? But we are digesting that news right now, the possibility, right? It's kind of like if you think of the market on a long-term basis, not today, okay, because today's noise is really often, like, dead wrong. Like, energy prices rose, or the Fed said this, and so the market did whatever it did, right? We think it's a one-day thing, and that the experts have it. Let's go to the traders on the exchange. They don't even know. They have no idea, right? The black boxes saw something, and they all moved some direction, and that's it. At the end of the day, we got to tell people why something happened. There's nothing in a day-to-day movement. But long-term, when I say this, we're weighing it out. Like, what are the odds of that, right? Well, they're not that great yet, but the market is definitely discounting the possibility, right? So if you kind of think of it this way, read a great quote this week, and it's simply saying, hey, if just because you're wrong about something doesn't mean you made the wrong decision. In other words, even if the odds are in your favor, it doesn't mean you win all the time, right? I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. you win a hand of blackjack, but the odds are not in your favor of that. But you do win sometimes. And so, again, it's just saying that as the market is processing it, let's say there's a 10% chance of stagflation, and now that 10% chance has gone to 15 or 20, then that becomes a bit of a discounting, right? Because the market is kind of discounting that as a possibility. If it happens, that's what the market's doing. For example, it's already discounting higher interest rates. The fact that the Fed is going to raise rates a half a point, like this month, and then next month, is it already in the cards? We know they're going to do that.
Quarters.
What's that?
It could even be three quarters.
It could. It's probably doubtful, Jim. It's a great point. I wish they would go ahead and shock the market. Just, we're going up 2% because that's where we're going. So why drip on us like some Chinese water torture? Just do it. Just get it done. And then the market can go, ah, and it'll be done in a day. That's it. And we're done. Instead of this constant, well, you think it'll be a three quarters? You think it'll be a half? Do you think it'll be a quarter? Just get it over with. If your target is now 2%, then get to 2. Go.
Yes. And so the reason that I asked the question is this president and his policies, they're not going anywhere for a couple of years. And he has not got anything, absolutely nothing done except for that infrastructure plan. And that was the only reason. Is the election back in Virginia that they were going to get slotted on.
Yep.
And so they voted to pass that. They wanted to do a package deal on that.
Well, there's a million different reasons. For example, they repurposed the money. They got the Republicans to buy on because it came out of COVID. Here's to the teachers union. Here's to the hospitals and stuff like that. In other words, Democratic supporters. Here's all the money. Okay, and so they took that money and repurposed it into that. So it was really brilliant on the Republicans' part. There's lots of reasons. But the point here also is that you're right. The policies are Looney Tunes. We don't know who's pulling strings. Joe can't walk from the helicopter to the White House without stumbling. So there's no way he's thinking this stuff through. What's that?
That is sad.
It is
sad. How sad is that? And half of me feels sorry for him.
I do too. I'm starting to feel sorry. But what my point here is this: we don't know what's really going on, but there is something out there, and these are intelligent people. But when we think about what they're doing on the policy side, it is extraordinary and very dangerous. Now we have a bipartisan infrastructure bill, and now the Democrats have made sure that hardly anything will be spent on infrastructure. It'll all be sitting there. Why? This is not even talked about. Why? Because things like regulation we got to have clean water and stuff. Yeah. Okay. So nothing will ever get done. Think California, think high-speed rail. Now where are we in? 12 years, 13 years? And with all the money they needed, they still haven't built it. They still haven't even completed all the permitting. This is not what you need if you're trying to get something done. So on one hand, we can do this. Like, we have 9,000 leases available to companies to drill, but we won't let them. Or the permitting will take 2 or 3 years. Well, what is it? It's available or it's not. So on one hand, they're pretending to make it available, like the infrastructure bill, and on the other, now they're reopening with regulation because they can do that to make sure that nothing actually ever gets built. That's a sad thing that we're falling back into. Jim, I got a roll. Thank you so much, and you call back again.
Thank you so much, and your wonderful, wonderful show.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We got to take a break for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, check us out at PetsoFinancial.com. If you want any podcasts from the past, you want to look at our 10 investment commandments, I do a rundown on what one of the reasons why, the big reason why, equity indexed annuities don't work, won't work, can't work. And I tried to do it in even shorter than 10 minutes, but I can't. It took 12 minutes, okay? So if you just want a background before you go to one of these seminars, don't worry. You get a free, and you think it's an information. Right, yeah, okay. So a sales pitch is information? Come on, it's not. So be careful with these things. really careful. There's no reason to go. It just doesn't work. As I've said many times over the last couple months, and when we have time, I'll talk more about them. There are so many better alternatives if you want something that's guaranteed. There's nothing free. There's no free lunch. It caps some of your upside. You lose some dividends or whatever it is, right? But you can have it guaranteed on the backside if that's what you want. Even FDIC, which, by the way, is like the government, which is way more. Or it's J.P. Morgan, which is going to go out of business. The ABC insurance company or J.P. Morgan? What do you think first? What do you think the guarantee? What do you think's a better guarantee? Yeah, me too. All right, let's go to the phones. And Dan and Barbara, hang on. We're going to get to you as soon as possible. Ken, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Dave, I've been blessed beyond anything I deserve. And, you know, financially, my wife and I have absolutely no troubles, no worries. I've been having a rough quarter because I have got a huge RMD I have to do this year, and I don't want to lock in my losses. So, after the free fall of the market yesterday, I was laying in bed last night commiserating about this terrible problem I have. And then I listened to your monologue this morning. Thank you for putting things in perspective.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
So it's hard. These are hard times.
They really are. This drills us all. It does. It gets to the core of, you know, our own fears, and it does. And these things are hard when we're kind of going through this kind of political turmoil that turns into emotional turmoil that turns into too much information. And we all also have a bias. We hear what we already believe. And that's true. We don't hear clearly what we don't believe. And so when we're in that space, we also have this sense of, if you will, that everything's bad and all the experts are saying it's bad. And it's just because that's what we're seeing. And it's just not true. There's lots of people out there that think this is a great buying opportunity. There's a ton of cash out there that will be a great buying opportunity. And trying to time these moves is very, very difficult, as you know. And I've watched it for 40 years. It doesn't make me know any more than I did any time about the future. I just tend to have more patience now. And I appreciate that, Ken, though. I really do. You made my day. Thank you.
Well, I'm just blessed my parents were smart enough to be Americans like this.
Aren't we all? We won the lottery of life.
Yes, we did. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Our number is 580-KIDO. Let's try one more before we go to break. Dan, thanks for holding.
Thank you. Dave, I love your optimism, but I'm concerned a little bit.
Yeah.
you went back to see history, and history is what it is. One of the things we know in history is that not everything is going to last. And so with that, markets, that I remember as a kid, went over to a neighbor's house on a rainy day and wanted to play Monopoly. And so I said, okay, let's do it. We had some time. And as we started to play the game, I noticed he had all this money. He only started out with so much fictitious money. And yet he had another board game, or another Monopoly game, and he was able to pull from that. Reminds me of our government printing money. There's no value in it, none. It's just paper. It's not even a certificate anymore of a guarantee. And so we're in a position right now where our government has gone rogue, and think they can really pull an economy through printing money. And you ought to know that this is a dangerous course to be going down.
Well, Dan, that's why I have a lot of hope, okay? And I'm sure not going to try to cut you short here, but I've got to get another break in, unfortunately. So I'll let you have the final word, but I do firmly believe, you've heard me for the last several months talk about this, we are at a tipping point. I really believe that. Of lunacy in this country. We saw it in the elections in November in Virginia. This is 1 year after the crazy election of 2020. 1 year. and Virginia turned. 1 year. New Jersey almost flipped. Almost. You know, that is, that to me is people getting in, there's in the school districts, in the school boards. It's the Looney Tunes stuff. Hey, there's nothing wrong with understanding that our founding fathers, our Constitution is not perfect, that it didn't start perfect, and it's and everything's run by perfect people. That's the historic part. The other historic part, when we talk about the markets, is that this has always worked. This is not the first time. We had a civil rights movement in the 60s. We had hyperinflation in the 70s. We've been printing money forever and ever, amen. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying this is a tipping point where we now have inflation to show the Looney Tunes that modern monetary theory doesn't work. It doesn't work, and that tax cuts, tax raising taxes isn't going to help inflation. These are the same loons that are trying to sell us that it's okay to print money and just keep interest rates low. It is not, and we are all learning that now, and that's okay because now we're going to throw money and try to buy votes to college students by paying back their loans. Do we really think that America is that stupid? They must. I think it's a tipping point, and that's why I'm optimistic about that change, that D.C. is going to be changing. And another Ronald Reagan will come along because this nation is blessed.
Well, I like your optimism, but all good things come to an end. And I fear for my grandchildren, but we have there's a course that's already underway, and they're going to transform America just like what the good senator from New York said. This is happening right in front of our eyes, and nobody's doing a damn thing about it. And we sit there watching our government dismantle the military mentally and physically, and yet they're doing what they're doing right in front of our eyes. We don't have the backbone anymore.
Yep.
And so we're sitting here and hoping for optimism to step in and somebody to come up on a great white horse or something. It ain't happening. I hate to tell you, but it's probably going to come to bloodshed.
I hope not, Dan. Thank you for your call, and thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-KIDO. Barbara, hang on, if you will, please, okay? And we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO, Dave at PetzoFinancial.net, and be sure to check us out at PetzoFinancial.com. We also have Zooms in there, too. I know these are troubling times, difficult. We try to talk about that. I think I'm going to try to slip one in this week. We'll see what we can do. All right, let's go to Barbara. Barbara, super patient. Thank you for waiting.
Well, I hope my battery holds out of my phone.
Me too.
I'm 90 years old,
oh,
and
I've
lived in Nampa a long time. I've heard you on the radio for years. But this morning when I woke up and heard your story and your feelings, it really brought back the proudness I feel for this country. But why? Why did you ruin it by saying Biden can't even walk to the helicopter? This is terrible.
It is terrible.
Why is this country gone this way?
Yeah.
I'm 90. I've seen a lot. I've lived with 3-4 wars. How many wars do we have to have?
I agree, Barbara. Barbara, thank you. I appreciate that. And I don't want to ruin that by that discussion. I'm saying that I understand why people are worried. We have to understand where we're coming from, but also then to flip it over and say we can be better and we are going to be better. And it's not about that one man. It's about all of us. It is about all of us. So I hope that you'll still feel proud, and you should. This nation is great, and it's great because of people like you. So thank you. And thank you for your life, your service. And I mean that. We all live here because of the people like you. God bless you, and thank you, and we are going to be back for, well, about 20 minutes in the next hour, and then I'm going to be talking with Kevin at the end. I hope you'll stick around. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number 2 upcoming, and of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station, a broker dealer. We're not here to talk about buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. It's nonsense. It's noise. And it leads us further from the truth. The truth of a long-term, solid growth of income that outpaces inflation all the days of our lives. I think next week, instead of this week, I'm going to talk to you about the income story. I know you've heard it before. You can even watch it on our website, PetzelFinancial.com, and you should, over and over again. It's what the great corporations in the world, the S&P 500, ever-changing, the good, the bad, the ugly, as I call it, have produced for income. The income produced by the S&P 500, again, the good, the bad, and the ugly, has gone up at 3 times the rate of inflation for the last 50 years. Nothing is close to that. I didn't tell you what the capital appreciation is, because if you're drawing income for life that you can't outlive, what part of capital appreciation is important to that? It's what we see every day. It's all we see every day. Every day. In our face. Bam, 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 bam. Apple went down today. Okay? Apple went up. Amazon got crushed. And it did last week. Tech stocks are having a tough go right now. Really tough. They're off 24%. So is that time to sell? Of course not. So you just buy things and hold them and don't ever sell? Not really. But yeah, really. It's kind of both. The great corporations, if we think of that as like the S&P 500, which is exactly what I'm talking about, they're always changing. The composition, the amounts, right? As one stock, like say Apple, becomes the biggest in the world, and displaces an Exxon or a GE, or companies go away altogether. See, over the last 20 years, about a third of the S&P 500 that was in existence then is gone. Like gone, gone, gone. No part. They're not all bankrupt. Some were merged. Some were just are just dinosaurs, and they were pulled out. Lumbering old companies. Not growing. Pull it out. Move on. Creative destruction. This whole process is not hard. It's just hard to hold on to. You don't have to do anything to own the great corporations of the world. They don't ask you to come and sit into meetings, to come up with anything, to sweep the sidewalk. In fact, they won't let you on their property. That's the level of requirement you have. You don't have to take a call late because the renter is upset the toilet's backed up. I know, as a real estate owner, I own the building that we have our property in, our offices in. I hate that. I really hate that. I love my tenants. I mean that. I really do. I really like the people in my building. And I really like the people I work with. But I don't like having to fix toilets. Fortunately, my buddy Dan Long is on my cell phone, so that's okay. And sometimes he's in town, so that works out great. And, of course, the roof leaks. And I mean, you know, all these things. I have to deal with those things. You don't ever, with the great corporations of the world, deal with it. I mean, in some ways, it's like, why doesn't everybody get this? And it's so super easy. And that's not that easy, because emotions play a big part. They do. And that's why, and you'll hear in the second half of today's, the second hour, and you heard in the first half, my reflections. And with Kevin, I was at Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's home, when he called, when we called, we connected and recorded our half hour. And it pulls you away from this noise, this fear we live in, and makes you sometimes just realize that history is long. History is long. Our life is short. Our emotions are intense. Our fears are strong. We never think we want to be driven by emotion. Nobody thinks that. Nobody gets up in the morning going, I want to live today in raw, unadulterated anger and lust. That's what I want to do. Man alive, that's going to be a great day. No, it's not. It's why we call that bipolar, right? We've got people, okay? And we try to dial that back. People have great anxiety problems about all kinds of things. They're not logical. They just are. Is what's going to happen the end of the world? No, but your heart is racing. It's really not an important thing. You are not going to be chased by a saber-toothed tiger. You are not going to be eaten by a bear. The number of people that die of a cougar attack are like zero. But we got cougar warning signs everywhere when you go hiking. You know, oh, be careful. Cougars, bears. Ooh, yeah. Okay, I got it. If you're in Alaska, you're in Montana, they have real grizzly bears. Okay, I got it. You got to be careful. I got it. And my fears. All right, too many to talk about. Don't want to deal with that. We do that, and we put that on the market all the time. We hear what we believe. That's what we hear. I can't tell you how many times it's like, hold on, and you have to talk to a client. And I'm not being mean. I'm really not. You just have to say sometimes, I understand the place you're at. I've done this for 40 years. You are terrified. You're not working. You have a pile of money, and now it's gone down in value. You are scared. It's irrational. Now, quiet. Here's the reasons why I'm not worried about it. Yeah, but. And you're like, whoa, time out. You need to listen first. You see, if we are emotional and we are wound up, we're really not listening to an expert, somebody we even trust, like me. Like, I'm not saying you trust me. I'm just a guy on the radio to you. But my clients theoretically do, because they actually like pay me, right, for my advice. Not just, oh, well, he's such a good stock picker. No. He knows the future. I don't. Well, you know it better than I do. Doesn't matter. We don't know the future. Well, shouldn't we sell and step aside? It all looks great in hindsight. We all feel that way. We all feel that way when the market goes down another 10%. Everybody was so smart in 2008 when they sold at the end of October, down 40%, because I know it was down 40, right? Why? Because they weren't worried as it dragged down 20%, not so much, but when it fell 20% in October, that was the time to lose it. And people lost it. And they got out. And it went down another 10% for another 3 months, and then it took off. And I mean, it took off 50% in 2009. Up 45% in 90 days from the bottom. You can't catch that. You got to live through it. But we think, as we're looking at that we hear what we believe. So we're sure that this time the inflation is real and this is going to happen over. And we get caught up in all of that. This is what everybody is saying. No, they're not. About anything. That's not what everybody's saying. It's what you're saying in your head, so you tag on to what you already believe. It's extraordinarily difficult for us to pull away. It's extraordinarily difficult to balance the two. And to hear the other viewpoint when you already believe that. And then when we layer on top of that the lack of confidence that we have in our government these days, it's frightening. But it's also, in many ways, leading to a tipping point. There's nobody that doesn't think. I mean, even the Democrats know they're going to get crushed in the November elections. It's just plain old, they've done a terrible job. On every metric, they've done a terrible job. From Afghanistan to inflation to energy policy, it just goes on and on. on and on and on. Even with the complicit media, they can't get that message changed because it's real. It's real. And now that confidence factor is coming into everything. You can feel it. But we're seeing that change, that tipping point change in Virginia, New Jersey. In our discussions now, in a billionaire taking over a censoring company, and the left has gone crazy. Let him go crazy. It just makes him look more and more. I walked through the Holocaust Museum, and the second time for me was more emotional than when I went 8 years ago. Way more. Way more. It's exactly how they did it. Propaganda. And they're losing that battle now. People are smarter than that. It's changing. Have belief in that. And I see these 9th graders, and they're just great kids. It just swells your heart. That's our future. Not people burning down cities and not arresting people for crimes. Tipping point everywhere we look. But when it comes to the market, we see it every day and we feel like we have to react. We don't. Volatility is part of this. It's the price you pay to have 10% per year returns for your entire life. Nothing does that. And you don't have to do anything except own the great corporations and leave it alone. It really is that easy and that hard. It really is. I'm going to leave you with, I got to get out of here because we're coming up on the recording with Kevin Miller. John Lennon, the great philosopher, right? John Lennon said this: life is what happens while you are busy making other plans. You know, I think too, if I can go ahead and completely mutilate that and say, returns are what happen when you fuss over things you cannot control. Market returns, corporations figure things out, keep rolling, while we fuss over all kinds of things. I've seen it for 40 years. It doesn't mean I know what tomorrow brings. It means I've seen it over and over and over again. Don't buy the doom and gloom. Don't hide your money. It's getting killed to inflation, and it always has. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you enjoy our segment with Kevin Miller. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week.